No, almost. There we go. All right, we're in. Okay. There is kids' church today if the kids want to go back to the back room for kids' church. Praise God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Does anybody remember the theme statement, what the book of Galatians is about?
Grace.
Yeah, grace. Key word. Starts with an F.
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Supernatural freedom. And if, I'm just going to share this. And it's okay if I fail. But if at the end of this series, which goes to the end of August, or into August, if you don't remember that the book of Galatians is about supernatural freedom, I will consider myself to have failed. Jesus said that if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And you know, we today, we often talk about Jesus, and the scripture tells us that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. And that's true. Part of that redemption is not just the forgiveness of sins. It's the restoration of the image of God in the human race. Yes. Let me say that again. Yes. It is the restoration of the image of God in the human race.
Yes.
See, we fail to realize sometimes that... Here's another one of my plugs for Gems for Genesis. Is that we were created in God's image. Not partially in God's image. You know, Scripture doesn't lie. We were created in God's image. Not partially, completely in His image. We were not God, we were not uncreated, but we were created in His likeness and in His image. And the serpent convinced us that we had to do something to be in the image of God. We were already in the image of God. And when we gave in, we became slaves to thinking that we had to do something to be like God. And Jesus came to redeem us from that entire understanding. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus came to set us free. That we might walk on this earth as completely free human beings. Not in bondage.
Yes.
Not in bondage actually to anything. God is not a benevolent dictator.
Yes.
Let me say that again. God is not a benevolent dictator. Sometimes our theology, our thinking, our inverted, upside down thinking makes God out to be just a really, really good benevolent dictator. He's not. He created us to be free human beings. To be like Him. He's not in any bondage. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Just in case you're taking notes, I made a slight change. We're only going to verse 16 today instead of verse 18. And God's grace is what produces freedom. God's 100% pure, unmixed grace is what creates, what produces freedom. And it's supernatural. It's not of this world. And I'm going to say that again because there's a theme here and we've touched upon it already in this meeting. I keep thinking, you can look back, this computer screen which was up earlier, that picture of that beautiful astronomical site. We are talking today about something that is out of this world. The theme verse of Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And I've shared this before, but my personal paraphrase of that is, I cannot try and be godly and succeed. If I'm trying, I'm not living in grace. The law, teaching, rules, regulations, concepts, procedures, even explanations in themselves, do not produce righteousness. God's righteousness is imputed to us. It's, in a sense, transferred. It is actively placed in us when we receive Jesus Christ. When we receive him, his righteousness is placed into us. Not because we've been taught it, but because that's what happens when we believe it. Now, last month, when we went through the second half of Galatians chapter 3, we talked about the difference between the law and promises. And I just took this from last month's presentation. Just to refresh you about this concept of promise, it's something that God himself has promised. And I believe we touched on, even in Genesis 3:15, that first promise, that God would redeem the human race, that he would separate us from the bondage to Satan. You know, the enemy of our souls, the enemy of God, wants to put us and keep us in bondage. That's what Satan does. He puts us into bondage. Whatever it is, whether it's addiction, whether it's a way that we think, whether it's anger, whatever it is, legalism, it is Satan that wants to put us into bondage. And Christ came. He died so that we could be set free. Yeah. Completely, thoroughly, 100%. Yeah. It's his promise. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. If there was some way, you know, one of the things about us as human beings, part of the fall, is that we think we can do it. Either we think that we know, we think that we are, or we can. It's like a threefold spirit that comes from the enemy. I am, I can do it, I know how to do it. Yeah. That does not produce righteousness. It does not. It cannot produce righteousness. That's why Jesus, the true I am, gave his life for us. Just the last verse here, verse 29, this is still from chapter 3. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When I was looking at this, preparing, I was thinking about three things that I really consider that we probably don't really understand very well. One is that Jesus came to set us free, that it's about freedom. Secondly, that we are heirs according to the promise. Yeah. We are heirs. And that we are sons according to the promise. Yeah. We're not servants. We're not slaves. Yeah. We are sons and daughters. Yeah. You know, there's something about sons and daughters and heirs that is very different than servants or slaves or workers. We are, Jesus came to set us free. And if we are in Christ, then we are free. Sometimes we walk around like we're not, but the reality is that we are. Let me say that again. We sometimes walk around like we are not, but the reality is that we are. It's the same thing with our sins being forgiven. You know, sometimes we hold on to things because we think that somehow it really isn't true that Jesus took our sins, that he paid for them completely. We're actually walking in unreality because he actually has. He has set us free. He has forgiven us our sins. He has made us heirs, and he has made us sons and daughters according to promise. It's a matter of, are we going to walk in that which he has already done? And when we don't, brothers and sisters, we're basically stepping in some ways upon the cross. Because if there's some other way by which we could be righteous, if there was some way that we could gain sonship, if there was some way that we could gain being an heir, or some way that we could gain our own freedom, then Jesus' death on the cross was a waste. And really, the book of Galatians is the Apostle Paul saying, don't go there. Don't go there. Because Jesus has paid the price. It's a promise, not a law or a teaching or explanation. It is his promise. Dependent upon him, not dependent upon us. So many of us, and I know this has been the case in my life in the past, thinking that, yes, he saved me, but now somehow I have to make it happen. It's dependent upon him. His forgiveness, his living out his life in me is actually dependent upon him, not me. Because he's promised it. And what really happens is that we walk away from it. We walk away from reality because we're trying some way in our own way. That's why there is the very simple statement about, in a sense, surrendering. Because we're just, and actually another way of putting it is we're agreeing with God. It's agreeing with God, and in a sense, it's disagreeing with the enemy. and disagreeing with ourselves. It's actually a very simple thing. It's very powerful. It's eternally powerful. But that's really what happens when we come to God and we say yes to Jesus. We are agreeing with God and disagreeing with ourselves and with the devil. So, finally, chapter 4. Now I say that the heir starts off with the very beginning. Now I say that the heir, now we are heirs in Christ. He's talking about us. He's talking about every believer in Christ. As long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, past tense, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, heirs and sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. It's interesting in that Abba, Father. I'll just share this with you. It's interesting because in the Greek, it's clear that it's Hebrew and Greek at the same time. It's Abba and Pater. Okay, it's both right there. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. You are no longer unfree. You are free. You're not a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Do you remember the children of Israel? You know, we sometimes, from our objective view, that how could they do that? They saw these great miracles. You know, they were taken out of slavery, and they're in the desert, and they say to Moses, we want to go back to Egypt. We wonder how they could have done that. I think sometimes the angels look at us and go, how could they do that? How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. In my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. So I want to go back over these 16 verses, and there's just a few words that I really want to take a look at. In verse 3, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. And I found this very interesting because also Paul repeats this word in verse 9. The elements of the world, which we were in bondage to. Now, if you remember, even in Genesis, after our first parents fell, God says that he curses the ground for our sake. And Paul is saying that prior to Jesus coming, We were in bondage under the elements of the world. The Greek word there is stoichion, which has a number of meanings, and I actually believe they all can fit here. The basic components, elements from which everything in the world is made and composed. So the elements of the world is literally the elements of the world. The things, the atoms, the molecules, the physical things that the earth is made up of. It goes on in this particular, I didn't write it all out, but even what makes up the celestial framework above us that we can see with the physical eye. The word can also mean those things that constitute the foundation of learning. Our rules, regulations, systems, our legal system, the rules and governments of men, all of those things can be defined by this word, stoichion, elements. A third definition is even the transcendent powers that are in control over events in the world, elements or elemental spirits, and there's more commentary about this in terms of the dark spirits that are in the earth. Other spiritual forces. And so Paul is saying here, even so, when we were children, before Christ came, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. We are in bondage to the physical reality of the world. We were in bondage to the principles, the laws, the governments of the world, the systems of the world. And we were in bondage to the dark spiritual forces in the world. But Christ has set us free from all of those things. All of those things. Thank you, Brother Chris, for sharing the testimony about your grandfather. Because death has no sting. Physical death, the physical elements of the world have lost their authority. Paul repeats this concept, I don't repeats, but emphasizes it in verse 9. Because now he's talking about this issue of the children, I'm just going to put it this way, us children of Israel, who are wandering, we think, in the wilderness. We feel like we're lost in the wilderness, and we've forgotten what God has done. And we want to go back to Egypt. That's what Paul is addressing in the book of Galatians. I'm going to start with verse 6 here. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. I don't know, I think there's a whole message just in those two words. Yes. The crying out to Abba, Father. What does a child do when they're in a tight spot? In a healthy family, they call upon mom or dad. They don't try to figure it out themselves. They just ask mom or dad. There are sometimes they just put out their arms like, come get me. Okay? They're just saying, Abba, Father. They're not trying to resolve it themselves because they know that the parent is the one, the only one that really can take care of it for them. The only thing that we can do is to say, Abba, Father. You know, all that we have. I have to share a testimony. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm going to share this. Because this is, I guess it's part of the reason I'm here today. But I'll talk about myself. It's so easy to want to trust in our own ability. Yeah. And I remember this time, I think it was about 7 years ago. I don't know exactly. And I'm having a tough time. I'm not feeling well. not happy with circumstances. I felt stressed out about circumstances. I felt like I wasn't doing very well with God. The whole gamut. You know the whole. You know the drill, right? And I'm driving. And I'm frustrated and I'm fed up. And in that, and this might sound so simple and basic, but I got to this point and I said, I said out loud, and I think I was saying it to God, I said, I don't have anything. I really don't have anything but your blood. And it was like everything just broke. It was like almost like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, now you got it. That's always true. It's always true. It is always true. See, that's what we walk away from. We think that we have something, but we don't. And we can just cry out, Abba, Father. And then that sets us free. It was like this, you know, I don't want to make this too mystical or whatever, but it was like at that moment, this big wind of freedom just swept into me. Because it was like it released me. It released me. It was like God said, yes, now you got it. You don't have anything, but I've set you free from not having anything. I've paid the price for you because you don't have anything. You don't have to try. You don't have to whatever it is. Just walk in that freedom. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. You know, when we I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 3. And just textually, when Eve began to give place to what the serpent was saying, she was beginning to serve those that were not gods. And as she gave in, Adam gave in, and actually served that which was not God. And that's been the case of the human race ever since. When you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly stoichion? Those, even the elements, the physical makeup of the world, we are not in bondage to. Do you remember? Jesus walked on water. Jesus commanded the storm. He healed diseases. He cast out demons. Why? Because he was not subject to the beggarly and weak elements of the world. And what is God doing in us? He has done. He's recreating his image, his son's image in us, which is not subject to the beggarly elements, beggarly and weak stoichion. Let me go back to the stoichion. The basic components, the elements from which everything in the world is made and composed. What does atheistic science want to tell us? That everything, and that we as human beings are subject to the elements of this world. What does, and I'm not knocking government, and scripture tells us that we're to be honoring of government. But what does government want to tell us? That they have the answers for us. Whether it's what, however you want to do it, financially, they have the answers. Healthcare, they have the answer. Whatever it is, government wants to tell us Or politics, I should say. What does the politician want to tell us? They have the answers for us. Even the educational system. All of those things want to tell us that they have the answers and that we have to be subject to that. And then there are the actual spiritual forces at work in the world that want us to serve them. But in light of Christ, in light of Christ and of what the Word of God says, those things, those stoichion, are weak and beggarly. They are weak and beggarly. I'm still going back to Chris's testimony, because what he was saying is physical death is actually a weak and beggarly thing. It has no real power over the believer. Those are weak and beggarly elements. Remember, I said this message, this whole aspect of redemption, is out of this world. Yeah. It's not of this world. And Christ came to save us from bondage to this world. Basically, what are the weak and beggarly elements? Just about everything except the things of the kingdom. I'm going to say that again. Just about everything except the things of the kingdom. And I chose that word things because I don't know if you know this, but in Hebrew, the word devar, also depends on context, is a thing. A word is a thing. In the beginning was the thing, and the thing was with God, and the word, the thing was God. A word is something. And the only thing that's not weak and beggarly is God's word and the things of his kingdom. Jesus said, heaven and earth, the things of the stoichion shall pass away, but my words shall by no means pass away. We are transformed by his word. We are transformed by the word made flesh. And we are not subject, or in bondage is the better word. You know, that's an important distinction there. In some ways, we are subject to the things of this world, but we are not in bondage to them. They do not enslave us because we have been set free. You know, I'm kind of stuck on this, but I think it's maybe we need this. I'm going back again to Chris's testimony in the beginning. And it's interesting that when I thinking about some interactions that I've had recently with people who are not believers, and when it comes to physical concerns and the possibility of death, everything is about death avoidance. Everything is about doing everything medical, everything possible to avoid death. Now, I'm not saying that we should take life lightly by any means, but that's what the non-believer does because they're in bondage to the things of this world. Chris's testimony, also about his grandfather, is that it's not all about death avoidance. For the believer, it's not about death avoidance. That's, we've been set free from that. Because we are living for something that's not of this world. I'm not quite finished. Because actually the text isn't finished, and I'm not really going to fully finish it. But in this understanding of not being in bondage to the elements, the stoichion, including the physical elements in many ways. I think it's one of the reasons my wife talks about someday we should be walking on water. And Jesus walked through a wall after the resurrection. It means it was a Philip that was transported. As a believer in Christ, the stoichion was a beggarly element. It's what the word says. It's not my opinion. It's what the word says. Philip was transported. Those things, and all of science, and I'm not knocking science. Don't get me wrong. But science wants to enslave us with that's all there is, and we are utterly subject to it. Philip was not subject to it. Jesus was not subject. He was not a slave to it. And we are not to live as slaves to those things. But Paul actually finishes with another aspect of this journey, and yet humility. You know, it's the complete balance of the package. Jesus was not subject to those things, but he was completely and utterly without human pride. You know, we can get kind of lifted up if we think, those things don't have control over me and I got something. Well, now we're back in trouble with I can do it. We just fall down a similar pit. And so it's interesting that even after Paul talks about this, he says, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. Here was Paul, the apostle. And it's not the only place in the scripture, but he mentions struggling in some way physically. He wasn't in bondage to the stoichion, but he still had to deal with it. And it's humbling for us, but it's part of this journey. And I beg to say that it's because God loves us so much. I'm going to end. I wasn't planning on ending with this, but I'm going to end with this. Another something that I've been learning. A lot of you know, but I'm teaching at Fusion Academy in Lake Forest. And I'm teaching English, and two of the English students that I'm teaching, I'm going through The Hobbit by J.R. Tolkien. And so I tend to be a little bit of a Tolkien fan. And actually, we watched some videos about Lord of the Rings lore. And there's some interesting things about it. I know some of it is Catholic theology. But one of the things, which is interesting, is that if you're familiar with the Lord of the Rings, men have one of the shortest lifespans of the different creatures. They don't live as long as the elves. They don't live as long as the dwarfs. And actually, in the makeup of this, there is a whole theology. And there is a God. There's a maker of the universe. I can't tell you his exact name. I wasn't planning on sharing this part. But
Illuminati.
Was it?
Illuminati.
That's right, yes. Okay. He creates the world. He creates these different creatures. He creates Middle Earth. And the dwarves and the elves have longer lifespans. And part of the reason that men have shorter lifespans is because he has this special love for men. There's something unique that God is accomplishing in the frailty of our lifetime. We often look at it as some type of negative in some way. And I don't want to use that as complete theology, but there is something that we have. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we have this treasure. This fits with what Paul just said about his own infirmity. We have this treasure, Christ in us, in earthen vessels. These weak, frail bodies that when we struggle with them, it brings us down. It connects us with humility. So that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. This treasure that's in us is of God, not of us. And so the next time, I almost don't want to say this, but so the next time I struggle physically, I may need to remind myself that it's in this earthen vessel that the excellency and the power of it is of God and not of me. And yet, in Christ, we are set free from the weak and beggarly elements. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, your message is more out of this world than any science fiction story. It's not of this world, and we are not of this world. We might live in this world, but the believer is not of this world. And we thank you for that. I pray that you would encourage every heart to hear that somehow the things, the stoichion, would have less stranglehold on us. We would not be in bondage to them. Well, we have been set free, but we would not subject ourselves to that bondage in our hearts. I also pray, Jesus, that you would cause us to number our days, those unique days that you have given us here on this earth. You've given each one of us a unique number of days. And so we pray that you will help us to number our days and be vessels of your glory in us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, hold on 1 second, Art, because I was hearing when you were preaching. So, hey, because with freedom, and this is what Art's speaking about through the book of Galatians. So, listen, could we just do this? Everybody stand up. We'll end with this. So, and I'm going to ask you to pray one more time. Sorry. So I liked when he was with everything you preached today, Art, but about the Abba Father, just giving it over to us. So can we just put our hands up and just say it? Go ahead, Art. I'll give you the mic. Just say Abba.
All right. Yeah. Let's all together say Abba Father. Abba Father. Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I think we have food, my dear. So, Abba Father, remember, give it over to the Father.
Yeah.
I nudged Hakeem when Art said that, because he said, when little kids come running to you, I was like, you're getting a fill of that, aren't you, Hakeem? Yeah. They just come to you and go, take care of it, Dad. I just spilled something or broke something. Take care of it. Yes. So, amen. So, walk in freedom. Amen. Oh, here. Get a mic over here. Who's singing?
And the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. And one last thing. Tim, come here. Come here, I got one last thing. We're going to end out with Tim, okay? Tim had a quote, you said it from movies, remember about the dash? All right, because Art talked about this, so we'll end with this. I know everybody's getting ready, but what did you say about the dash? I don't want to get it wrong. So. Okay, hold on. We'll end with this.
Each and every one of us is given 2 days already in our life, predestined, our birthday and the day we die. What matters pertaining to our lives is the dash in between. That Amen. Dash is what we are to make purposeful in our lives.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, that was good. He brought that over the house. So, all right, everybody. So go walk in Christ and make good use of that dash. So, okay, we have food. You get some food and other stuff too. What?
If anyone does want prayer, please don't leave without getting prayer before you leave, okay? Okay, amen. Yeah.